Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley, back with you. Not putting up as many episodes lately. I still have a problem with my tooth. I got that temporary crown put on 12 days ago. Got the nice little sheet of paper that says, you might feel discomfort for 48 hours. Go ahead and feel free to use the ice and the ibuprofen for 48 hours. 12 days later. So anyway, I do now have something that organically came to mind. I want to talk about Greta Thunberg, the World Economic Forum. Also touch back again on something I mentioned several episodes ago, the corollary to problem reaction solution, and then another corollary to that, and maybe get into a little bit of what one of my heroes, David Icke, has said. So first, Greta Thunberg, I feel like I have a mindset similar to, in a way, but not on the level of being informed as David Icke, because I saw this so easily. It is one thing for some 13-year-old to make a viral speech in front of their high school about save the climate. I got set a lot of the climate, because that's what the teachers told me. Unless they can tell I'm a real revolutionary, because I did what I'm saying, what the teachers told me to say about saving the wild and the climate. Okay, so even though that's totally ironic and hilarious, in my opinion, that somehow we are teaching kids to be radicals by following the exact radical concepts that their textbooks are teaching them, which is just straight communist stuff. That's one thing on, you know, well, it's one viral video. But when some 13-year-old gets up and is able to scold world leaders on many different stages, and suddenly out of thin air, she's everywhere and gets to go everywhere and is on all media, you should wait for it. Be suspicious. But so you should have. But if you weren't, here's your further proof. So the same World Economic Forum that has become more infamous for those of us who are awake, not woke, in the last 2 years, the literal Klaus Schwab World Economic Forum that comes up with the Great Reset that idiots like Justin Trudeau, a Fidel Castro's son, by the way, check it out. I'm pretty sure you're going to find out he looks a lot more like Fidel than he does Pierre. So anyway, idiots like Trudeau's like, I must say the word so everybody knows where my allegiances lie. The Great Reset. So many folks are involved with the World Economic Forum. Infamously, their first class of, I can't remember, future young leaders, a young leaders conference or whatever it is, In the earlier mid-90s, included Bill Gates and Angela Merkel, or however you pronounce her last name, from Germany. And they have the Little Davos. They've got the World Economic Forum in Davos every year. And then Little Davos, or it's a nickname where 6 months removed from that, give or take, they have a forum in freaking China. It just goes back and forth between two Chinese cities. So the same World Economic Forum that we know is not about, as although you can go to their website and they say, try to bring market principles to governance around the world. No, not at all, because what you're doing is meeting to conspire and agree. And that is not free market principles. Free market principles is competition. Not everybody getting together to decide what to do next. I don't know why my cat's meowing like that. I apologize, guys. He's a well-treated cat, and he likes to talk more when I talk. So just if you can hear him in the background, forgive him. So we know what the World Economic Forum is. It's a bunch of Looney Tunes trying to control the world in a very specific direction. And we know what Greta Thunberg is supposed to be. Oh, wow, she's really going to save the world. And what does she do? She gets to meet and speak in front of the World Economic Forum. hashtag mascot. That's all that is. Now, if these World Economic Forum, highly powerful elite folks, wanted to really stop the world, stop the things that really pollute and dirty the world and threaten the environment and threaten the health of humans, they could, probably with the snap of a finger, stop glyphosate and the fact that we poison plants, but somehow they survive it. And then the poison gets to our food instead of killing the plants on the field. They could probably stop the idea that any company should be able to patent the idea of seeds that don't then naturally reproduce, so that if necessary, the farmer can simply work off of last year's seeds if they so desire. They could stop that. That would help the supply chain and the ability of the world to feed itself instead of live in poverty. So what else could they do? They could stop, nanoparticles that the body can't deal with from being put in industry, nanoparticles that can end up in powders like graphene oxide in the computer industry and other industries that therefore can get inhaled and really screw up the system past the blood-brain barrier. They could stop nanoparticles, not just that can happen to get into the human system, but that get used as the basis, the carriers of regular medicines and vaccines, as discussed in previous episodes, that cause autoimmunity, plain and simple, and worse with graphene oxide. Much worse, yet graphene oxide, a clear and obvious, highly toxic problem that many a journal will talk about when they're not talking about it in the context of medicine. They could stop it being purposely used as a carrier, a nanoblade being used. That is a massive toxicity that the World Economic Forum, not just to humans, but to anything that it then gets, if it gets out of the human system, gets put into the water supply, if the graphene oxide gets accidentally polluted into the air, a massive toxicity that they could stop if they wanted to save the world. They could stop fluoride being literally a fertilizer manufacturing process pollutant that, if not diluted in water, would be, and instead just put into smokestacks, is considered a mass pollutant that toxifies ponds or lakes downstream. It would be considered an EPA disaster. And instead, we dilute it by putting into human water supplies that then also become go elsewhere as well. If they wanted to stop that pollution, they could. If they wanted to stop the fact that nanoparticle metals get thrown into the atmosphere via spraying so that the ionosphere can be used for any number of reasons, with HARP and otherwise, to see over the to communicate over the horizon around the world and to electrify the ionosphere for any number of reasons. If they wanted to stop the fact that, hey, sounds like a great idea, guys, except that in order to do so, you are constantly polluting the atmosphere with nanoparticle heavy metals. If they wanted to stop that, they could, but they don't do any of that. Instead, they just fly the flag of saving the world and climate change and use little mascots like Greta Thunberg. So that's all you need to know that Greta Thunberg, maybe she did start as, wow, she's really cool. Look at her opinion, and she doesn't take prisoners. Maybe she started organically. Or maybe they scout for those people who do have a certain belief, and then they go, and we can use them because they're too stupid to know, and we'll use them for our agenda, because they are so extreme, they have no idea why they have no idea to question, hey, dummies, hey, if you're against the elites, how do you think all this pollution has occurred to this point? So why would you imagine that being funded by these very elites to go around the world and talk is anything except you being used? How if you're so smart, how have you not figured that out, little Greta Thunberg? So that's the first connection. The second connection is that I talked previously in last half dozen or maybe dozen episodes somewhere in there, a new way to look at problem reaction solution. And I had referred to that problem reaction solution as problem reaction distraction solution. So, and there's two corollaries to this. Problem reaction solution, made more popular by David Icke and others, is that those that want more control, nefarious means, those that don't really have no sincerity towards a world that is truly made so that everybody can prosper and property is more equally distributed because rights are more equally distributed, that no scams exist like our banking system. There are people who just want to continue the more scams, the better. They just are. And those folks use things like problem reaction solution. We want to be able to do something. How do we frame this for the idiots to accept it? Okay, well, if there's a problem, can we have a solution that would address the problem? And if so, then if there's a problem, we at least highlight the problem so the idiots react and then they demand a solution. We give them the solution that goes along with the agenda we want, like screw your Fourth Amendment. We want to be able to spy on people. We want to be able to have political control over people because we know everything about them all the time. And while we won't bother most people, we'll bring it up when we want to. We will control people and eventually control speech because we know what everybody's doing. So, you know, the Patriot Act stuff. So, but then a corollary to that is that do you create the problem, the no problem reaction solution, and or do you create the problem? Do you dare to do anything like, oh, catching non-terrorists so that you can promote the idea of having to be more anti-terrorist? So see some of my recent episodes on the FBI creating its own problem, where they just make fake terror plots so that they can catch some oaf in it and then therefore say that make it give a perception that the terrorist problem is more than it is. And so that's kind of the no problem reaction solution. And or the other corollary where they create or allow something to happen. In the case of 9/11, overwhelmingly the evidence is at the very least, they allowed it because they didn't react to crap. Anybody who looked at it closely had to have like a funny feeling like, really? The Pentagon? Really? They couldn't stop a missile from, I'm sorry. No, it wasn't a missile. It was an airplane. Yeah, that's right. It was an airplane that left no debris. Yeah, that's what hit the, the Pentagon. But isn't that like really defended airspace? How can that? So in that case, at the very least, we triggered something and then allowed it to happen, or we knew about it and allowed it to happen. So that's another species of problem reaction solution. But more recently, we've discussed problem reaction distraction solution. As we went to COVID, and that was problem reaction solution. Anybody using their brain, and I forgive you if you fell into it, but hopefully you've learned your lesson now. How can we suddenly have a reaction that is 1,000 times more than anything we've had to anything like this? And so first the corollary was, wait a second, you're the ones reacting. We're not reacting. You're suddenly say, you're on behalf of us. The world is a stage. You're reacting 1,000-fold more than anything else on behalf of us. You know, you're creating the problem. You're creating our de facto reaction, even though we aren't. And then you have the alleged solution, which is a massive tyrannical bashing, not the word I'm looking for, of basic fundamental rights, just smashing of those fundamental rights, allegedly for health. But the disproportionality is why it really wasn't for health. It was so entirely disproportional than anything in history. So we have that where you go, but you're creating the reaction. We're not reacting. We're not demanding a solution. You are. And then you're enforcing the solution. So we've got that problem reaction solution in its many subspecies that are even less authentic. But then we also have how we flip from the tyranny of COVID immediately to another tyranny of the Ukraine. You cannot have a different opinion on COVID. And if you do, then you're a liar and you want grandma to die. And then 2 years later go, yeah, so you're right. But you still should have, you know, lost all your reputation. And you still should have learned. You still should have, been decimated as far as your accounts on Facebook, because you said the truth, but you said it early enough and we didn't want anybody to know the truth. Now we don't care if anybody knows the truth and we admit it's true, but now we're on Ukraine. And that's where I said we have distraction, problem distraction solution. Sometimes it's problem reaction distraction solution. So it's really about the newest distraction, like Ukraine. Oh, you've got to be 100% on Ukraine. And is it really just a distraction from what about all this where all of us are suspicious, knew early, and then more people know later on as the truth comes out that COVID had a bunch of liars and a bunch of people who need to be punished. And now we suddenly have a new problem that's really a distraction. And it's as easy as pie to see that it's a distraction. Anybody using most of their brain sees you went from one problem, reaction, distraction, solution to the next one. And so there's that. But then David Icke, whose new book is Perceptions of a Renegade Mind, I love him. And you don't have to believe in reptilians to love him. That should be an interesting point of view to go, hey, if this guy's going to talk about reptilians, maybe his mind is open enough to not be apologetic about other stuff. And then you discover he's a great historian, actually. He's a very good historian, and he's a dot connector, which I try to be here on the Scales of Truth. And so what I like about him is he is that great dot connector. And he originally, he popularized the problem-reaction-solution. But then something he's saying in his newer book is that, remember, this problem-reaction-solution, another way of looking at it, like I just said, is that they're reacting on our behalf, is that really we're just acquiescing. We're acquiescing to all of this. We're acquiescing to the idea of the problem, the idea of the reaction, and the idea of the solution. So without our acquiescence, it all goes by the wayside. Now, is that a lot harder when we're not really trying to acquiesce? We're trying to share opinions, and then we get censored. Yes, it is a lot harder. But nonetheless, it's just why we cannot acquiesce in any way, shape, or form anymore. And by the way, yeah, I could not recommend Perceptions of a Renegade Mind enough. All right, guys, I am looking into some, man, I always forget this word, esoteric stuff lately. And I did that a little bit with my kind of breadcrumbs of three or four people to follow here an episode or three back. And I gave you some ideas who to look into if you're into more of that sacred mass, sacred geometry, and are kind of intrigued by it. And I don't know it in any way, shape, or form, but I do appreciate some of the academics on it, some of the pursuits into it. And I'm trying to understand it more, and maybe I'll bring some of that to you as kind of a break from the political stuff here in some episodes coming up. All right, guys, thank you for listening to Scales of Truth. I appreciate you following me on the journey. And then also, if you could follow, like literally, some of these the podcast or the episodes specifically, if you could rate. Also, I think probably, although I don't check it, I will have to check it more, you can probably, through Audio Boom, get in touch with me. If you'd like to have somebody who might want to be on with me, I need to do that more. It's been a one-man show almost entirely, but there are plenty of people who intrigue me, and I would certainly like to interview. Just haven't really gotten to that. So any of that stuff, let me know what you think. Rate particular episodes and or the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And see me over on Chemology 411 with Kim Schultz, where we chat weekly. Thanks, guys.